All right. I'll do one more by myself, and then right before I collapse, Eugene will come up and rescue me, and we'll go deeper together. And then we'll take about a 5 or 6 minute break or so, and then Eugene will come up and do a final set. If it's only me and you, all right. This is a song. You know, tonight at Eddie's Attic, there's a great songwriter. So those of you who want to just stay on indefinitely, Kyler England is going to be here tonight. She's a fantastically good songwriter out of North Carolina. Writes very literate, heartfelt. She's got a song called Simple Machine, which I just absolutely love. And she may be stopping by here today. She may even be in the room, but I don't see her. But in any event, in 2005, I entered various songs in the Unisong International Song Contest, and I was shocked to learn. I got a call from somebody said at the office. In fact, it called Jennifer, and he said, Mr. Schneider there. In fact, I think he did call you and tell him he's won second place in this international song contest. And you came in and told me. I said, yes, but are our timesheets in? And she said, but I was beaten out for for first place by Kyler England, who's going to be playing here tonight. So if anybody comes back to see her, or maybe we'll see her today. But this song that I wrote was called Homemade Song. And it's about sort of like, you know, I write some decent songs, but actually, you know, in terms of performing, I don't, that's why Eugene and I don't play together a lot right up here, because, you know, I can't keep time and basic stuff like that. And you know, I have my heroes, of course, being James Taylor and Paul Simon and Eugene Ruffalo. I never did get that. Never been a Ruffalo. I had to get that in there. But this song just came out one day, and I've enjoyed singing. People have had fun with it. My daughter, Kristen, when she was in eighth grade, and by the way, Kristen is going to be graduating from Emory Law School on May 11th, and we are very proud of her. And we're also very proud of Mackenzie, who's very soon going to be graduating from second grade at St. Martin's and going to third grade. So following in her mom's footsteps. But Kristen used to go to Christ the King, and they apparently had some northern teacher there. And she would come home and she'd do this impersonation. She's a very good impersonator. And she'd say, somebody would say to her, "Hey, Kristen, shut up, put it in your pie hole, stuff something in your pie hole." I never had heard this expression before. You know, it just sort of stuck with me. I know I didn't do it justice. I didn't do it as well as you did, but she talked about this pie hole word. You know, it sort of just stuck in my head, and it was very dangerous to stick in my head, because I knew one day it would get in a song, and it did. it got into this song, but here it is. I've never been a rhyming Simon. I never been the same as James. The trouble's always been my timing. I never heard the next chord change. But oh, what it feels like to sing a homemade song. Something I can sing and you can sing along. And sure, I let 100 chances pass me by with 1,000 excuses. About 1,000,000 reasons why. I never made the mountain, but I'm up here on this hill. Can't read it in this glare. Which is quite all right with me, because this hill is still a thrill. I've never been a rhyming Simon. I've never been the same as James. Trouble's always been my timing. I never heard the next chord change. But oh, what it feels like to sing a homemade song. Something I can sing and you can sing along. And sure, I pass my time in prime for writing songs. But then something still moves me, floats my soul along. And suddenly I'm singing And I'm up here on this hill. And once more, like before, this hill is still a thrill. I've never been a rhyming silent. I've never been the same as James. The trouble's always been my timing. Never saw the next chord change, but oh, what it feels like to sing this homemade song. Something I can sing, and you can sing along, and take it in your heart, and put it in your pie hole, and find your favorite part, and that'll always take you home. Sing this homemade. Sing this homemade song, and if it's only me and you, and we're up here on this hill, will I sing a song for two? You know I will, even though I've never been a rhyming Simon. I'm never gonna be like James. The trouble's always been my time. I never heard the next chord change. Oh, what it feels like to sing a homemade song. Something I can sing, and you can sing along.
Eugene.
We're gonna put a cherry on it here with deeper, right? Yeah, but you tell it, okay? Eugene has a great story about what he holds in his arms.
I do, indeed.
It's a fantastic story. I don't remember it, but it's just true.
It'll come back to you, believe me.
I will tell you that we were in Il Molino in New York. We went in there at 6:30, and we left at 11:30. Now, even with Doug Hinson on the road all over the world, I have not done that. But I don't know what we talked about, but one thing was this guitar. But go ahead, Eugene.
Well, for those of you who are not guitar savvy, the guitars that both Doc and I are playing are made by a guy named Jim Olson, who's one of the best guitar makers in the world, arguably, at this moment. And I've always been lusting after one of these guitars for years and years. And the irony, of course, of being a musician is that instruments like this frequently don't fall into the hands of working musicians because they can't afford them, frankly. I'm not going to tell you what they're worth because I don't know you all that well, and we are taking a break in a couple minutes. But they're not cheap. Anyway, Doc and I, to follow up on our story of how we met, eventually, after a year or so had gone by, Doc made his way to New York, and we had a plan of having a dinner together. It was supposedly going to be me and Doc and our friend Ben Wish, but it was a snowstorm, quite an impressive blizzard.
Yes.
And Ben couldn't make it because he lives outside of the city. So Doc and I decided to get together alone. And as Doc told you, we spent literally 5 hours having dinner and discovering that we had a lot to talk about. About 4 hours into the dinner, and I don't know how many bottles of wine, but considerable amount, luckily for me. There was little lull in the conversation, and Doc said to me, "So what kind of guitar do you play?" I said, "Well, I have a Taylor and I have a Marr." I told him, started listing a few instruments that I had. I said, "What do you have?" And he said, "I have an Olson." I said, "Really? An Olson? Wow." He said, "Actually, as a matter of fact, I have two Olsons." And so I was thinking to myself, but I have no Olsons, and he has two Olsons. And of course, I didn't say that. By the end of the dinner, and a few more bottles of wine down the road, Doc said to me, "You know, you should be playing one of these Olsons. These Olsons, my Olson, one of those guitars you should be playing because that's the hands it should be in." And I was thinking to myself, you're right about that, actually, you know?
I remember that.
You remember that, yeah. So the next morning I woke up and a little headache, and first thing I thought of was, did Doc say that he was going to, that I should be having one of his Olsons? You know, I was. Did he really say that?
So I woke up with the same question.
Yeah. There was a conspicuous lack of that discussion in future conversations. And it was in the back of my mind. Of course, I wasn't going to bring it up. But he hinted at it a few times. And last August, I turned 50 years old. And my girlfriend threw me this very lovely surprise party. And unbeknownst to me, she invited Doc, knowing that I would like to have had him there. And unfortunately, he couldn't make it. But we had this beautiful dinner, after which it was a small group of friends and family, and after which presents came out, opened all my presents. All the presents were finished, and my girlfriend said, "Oh, there's one more present." She disappeared, went downstairs, came up with this huge box, opened it up, and what was inside but this guitar? A pretty extraordinary gift, really. I mean, I was speechless, and the next morning I said, "Well, I have to write Doc. I don't know what to say, you know." So I basically wrote him the best email I could come up with, and I told him the only downside to the gift was the look on the faces of my friends who had just finished giving me shirts from Banana Republic. They were not as amused as I.
This is actually a revenge guitar. In 1994, Helen and I were going to go to Big Sur for an actual vacation away from the children, who are they're very beloved little children. And we were going to actually go to the West Coast, to the Big Sur, and Helen's grandmother got ill and had to come to Atlanta right when the flight left, you know, so we had to cancel it. So Helen called me at the office and said, "We're not going to Big Sur." I said, "You were not going to Big Sur?" I hung up the phone and said, "Oh, yes, we'll support Helen's grandmother, great lady." Then I said, "What can I do? What can I do to make myself feel better?" And so I said, "I'm going to get one of those James Taylor guitars. I know they're expensive. They'll cost way more than Big Sur, but I gotta do something. I'll never recover from my funk." So I called Jim Olson. I found his number. I'm very resourceful when I'm desperate. I call Jim Olson, I find him, I get him on the phone, and I said, "Look, I understand, I know you make guitars for James Taylor and David Wilcox. I would like one." He said, "Well, it's a year and a half wait." I said, "Well, I'm not like a instant gratification guy or anything." Yeah, of course, he didn't know me. He said, "Well, tell me what kind of guitar you're looking for." I said, "Just exactly the James Taylor model, that small jumbo size that we're both playing here today. Ebony keys, pearl inlay, but nothing overly dramatic, you know. We don't want Inagata the Vita or anything like that." And he said, "Well, look, are you a honorable, honest guy?" I said, "Oh, yeah, extremely." He said, "Look, there was an artist called today, and I just got done making a guitar, similar to what you were requesting." This is it. Which Eugene and I refer to this as Miss Chocolate, because she's got a sort of chocolate tone to her. He said, it's sort of exactly like what you want. It's ready. I'll ship it to you overnight. If you like it, send me back a check. If you don't, send me back the guitar." So I went from not going to Big Sur to tomorrow I'm getting this guitar. So I came home and I said, "Helen, I'm very disappointed about Big Sur. And you know, it's not so good, and I'm kind of upset." And I ordered, you know, you remember those Olsen guitars I told you about? I ordered one of those. She said, "Yeah, when's it coming?" I said, "Well, tomorrow it's coming." And then the thing arrives, okay, and it looks like King Tut's tomb. It's in a big box, and we open it and take it out, and it was as if the guitar had been carved out of the center of a tree, had this wonderful rosewood aroma to it. The first song on it, some of you who have listened to Choices and Chances, there's a little song on there, "Look What This Brings," about the guitar flying from Minnesota. It's about this guitar. But it really was a revenge guitar. It was mean to Helen, and it had to be given away. And I finally found the right recipient. We're gonna close this set, the middle set, with a song called "Deeper," and just a little bit of background on it.